We are officially live for the first ever Above Max podcast. Cue our brand new awesome intro.
Welcome to the Above Max podcast.
All right, guys. So listen, this podcast, it is the first episode. So it may be a little sloppy. We're trying to figure it out. We got our backdrop here. We got to get a new one. It's a little wrinkly. I had it rolled up in the closet for a while. But the purpose of this podcast is to kind of communicate with our audience and, you know, our whole Above Max community in regards to A, what's going on at Above Max, and B, current events and trending topics such as NBA basketball, NCAA basketball, street ball, everything basketball. We get to hop on here and discuss it. I'm going to almost always have a friend or some sort of special guest on here so that we don't get too biased with the opinions. Anyone who knows me knows that we can go down a Kobe Bryant rabbit hole for like three episodes straight. The length of these episodes is going to be about anywhere between 20 and 30 minutes. So we want to keep them short and sweet so that you all, you know, if you drive, you can listen to it on your way to work or, you know, on the way from work, whatever. If you're a kid, your attention span is short and, you know, we want to keep it to where you're interested throughout the whole entire episode. So, you know, without further ado, thank you all for listening. There's always going to be a blog excerpt to go with this. It'll probably be emailed out to you all if you subscribe. Visit abovemaxbball.org to subscribe to, you know, this podcast, the blog, anything that we have going on for constant updates. These episodes, obviously this is the first one, but I expect these things to take off because, you know, we have a very strong community online that just for some reason loves to argue or go back and forth about NBA basketball. I have a very strong opinion. I have a lot of experience, and I like to share that experience. I also like to drop a lot of jewels and gems on, our audience, being that our audience happens to be my students or players or people who follow me because of my basketball resume and experience. So it's only right. I don't have a script or anything. We're literally going. I have a couple notes. It's only right that I give an introduction to myself, to Above Max Basketball, and what we're all about. So that if you did stumble across this, you're not like, who is this guy monologuing about basketball and what the hell is in Above Max? So, you know, my name is Art Morrison III. I founded this company, Above Maximum Basketball Corp, way back in about 2015. It was like 2014, 2015. It was actually December 2014 when we started. I believe it was December 2015 when we truly formed, a business legally. Got a logo and kind of started taking this thing serious. It all started, it started when I was in college. I started doing camps and clinics for local companies such as this one. And I realized I had a knack for it. I had a niche. Kids loved me. I was athletic at the time. I'm still athletic. But, you know, not only did the kids love what I could do on the court, they also loved the way I explained it. So I had this master plan of, hey, after college, I'm going to go play some professional basketball. And then after playing professional basketball, or even during, when I come home in the summer times, I'm going to start teams and camps and clinics and do private training and podcasts and YouTube channels. And I had this huge plan. And that brings us to today where I actually get to roll out this plan, for you all. So I'm really pumped. This is like phase three where now we're just getting our this podcast thing off the ground. Our blog, our website is finally where we wanted it. We went about 3 or 4 years of me doing everything, meaning I designed the website, I ran the Instagram page, I, you know, typed out every single email that was going out, I did all the marketing. So we're finally getting to a point where we have people that can help us. We have staff that can help us not only coach, but do all the things that I just mentioned. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get some special guests on here. Some people would literally just be my friends who I feel have good opinions, strong opinions, and I enjoy going back and forth with. And other people would be obviously people of significance and relevance. Not that my friends aren't relevant, but, you know, people who you guys want to hear from, whether it be some other professional basketball players or agents, coaches in the industry from youth basketball all the way up to college. So I'm real excited about that and just talk hoops, man. We're going to get real loose. We're going to refrain from any profanity and all that because, like I said, a lot of you guys listening are young ears, youth players, proteges. So we want to keep it real clean and, you know, PG or at least PG-13. So that's like a PSA for anybody who ever wants to be on the show or call in. You can't call in and you can't be a part of the show. if you can't respect the audience. So once again, I'm Art Morrison III. I go by the name of Coach Art. I guess while I'm on here, we can call me. I don't know. We'll figure it out. I don't even know if we really have a name for the podcast. I think we're just going to go by the Above Max podcast. I thought about like Hoop Chatter, things like that. Hoop Chatter by Above Max. So hopefully by episode 2, we have this thing figured out. I'm coming from a place of, I played a couple years professionally. My most prominent year was probably my rookie year in Portugal. You go on YouTube, you'll see a ton of highlights and all that. You know, I played, well, I was a member of the team for 4 years in college. I ended up playing two. I tore my ACL senior year, so I had virtually no senior year, and by the grace of God, still was able to play basketball overseas. My freshman year, I was actually ineligible due to, I went to a prep school that, long story short, didn't have their paperwork right. NCAA kind of red flagged them, and there goes my whole freshman year. I didn't get to redshirt. I literally lost a whole year of eligibility from the get-go. I only had 3 years of NCAA eligibility. So of that 3 years, I did pretty good sophomore year. I enjoyed my junior year, and senior year, the big year, I tore my knee and somehow played professional basketball. That perseverance and all that good stuff is really what qualifies me to even be on this podcast speaking and have a company of this size and all that was, you know, the perseverance and overcoming all these basketball obstacles. Even in high school, I went to 5 high schools in 5 years, if you include my prep year, just from my parents being divorced and, you know, some other financial things going on in my family. The recession hit my family hard, and I moved around a lot, and I went to 5 high schools. So it's even, again, by the grace of God, some sort of miracle that I even played ball in college, let alone Division II, and then going on to play professional basketball. You know, who would have thought? So all of that, through that whole journey, I met a ton of people. I learned a lot from a lot of mistakes and trials and tribulations. I didn't have your average career or journey. And because of that, I'm here on this podcast, not only to share my journey with you, but really give you insight on the basketball industry. You know, from the perspective of the last 5 years of being on the youth basketball end and trying to tap into this market of AAU basketball and summer camps and all this, you know, apparel sales and all these things that we're able to do here at Above Maximum Basketball, but also tap into before that 5 years, the decade before that, where I was going through getting recruited in high school from the years of 2005 to 2009. And then from 09 to 2013, where I was playing, I was fighting through injuries, I was getting recruited to play overseas. These are all things that I feel people need to hear about. And my apologies to everybody for not talking about this stuff sooner, whether it be in blog form, tweeting. I don't tweet enough. I just started tweeting this year. You know, I think this podcast is going to be huge for all of that and kind of keep me in tune with basketball, with you all, and engaging with you all. So as I use that word, engaging, the way this is going to go is I'm going to, you know, record this podcast. I'm going to post it. And I would love, 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 love to get comments from you all. If you're watching this on IGTV or YouTube, comment below. You know, let's talk. Let's go back and forth. This isn't a me thing. It's a us thing. It's a community thing. It's a basketball thing. If you are, you know, watching this listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify podcast, Google podcast, I don't even know what they're all called, but this is going to be on all of those. And if you're listening, same thing, feel free to email us, coach@abovemaxbball.org. Email us your feedback about the podcast, email us topics, email us videos, we'll feature your videos, basically anything you can think of, just get in contact with us, man. Let's go back and forth and let's grow this Above Max basketball community. So anyway, right into the subject matter. It's a big week. Today is October 26th. And the reason why it's a big week is because we just wrapped up week one of the NBA season. And it's pretty exciting stuff. If you guys don't follow the NBA, you know that, or you don't know. But if you do follow the NBA, you know that there's a ton of, or there was a ton of changes made throughout the offseason. We have, you know, Kyrie Irving is now, you know, after playing for years for the Cavaliers and winning a championship with LeBron James, ended up on the Boston Celtics, which we all thought was going to be huge, and that didn't work out, and now he's on the Brooklyn Nets, and he had a phenomenal week one. We have Russell Westbrook kind of teaming up with another former reigning MVP, which is huge. We have Kawhi Leonard, who just won a championship with the Toronto Raptors, only to leave and go and play for the Los Angeles Clippers. Clippers, which is a big deal in itself, and we'll chat about that and how the Clippers and all these teams kind of are looking, how they look. Did they live up to the expectations or the hype of the whole offseason? And we're just going to kind of go down the line. So got Rob McPherson on the line, basketball enthusiast, one of my good friends from college who he and I constantly go back and forth in regards to basketball. I think he has great insight, a different perspective than I have. And Rob, what's good, man?
What's going on, Art?
So look, bro, we just chat with the audience about week one of the NBA season. So what this podcast is going to be is going to obviously be an update of what we have going on at Above Max in regards to, you know, our teams, our players, our community. But then we're also going to touch on trending topics and current events in the basketball space. So the topic this week is week one of the NBA. You know, what we're going to look forward to, who we're looking forward to the most. Some predictions, MVP, league leading scorer, championship, all that good stuff, bro. So real quick, introduce yourself in 30 seconds. Just give us your opinion and how excited you are, if at all, you know, about the NBA season, 2019-2020 season.
Rob McPherson, played with Art, like you said, at Caldwell University. We've been, you know, friends since 2009 until now. You know, seen this man grow a lot. Very excited to join this podcast and give my little spill on how I feel about the NBA and this upcoming season. From week one, I'm really excited just to see the parity in the league. We haven't seen this in the NBA since, I think, before Durant went to the Warriors. You know, you got LeBron and AD out west. You got Kawhi and Paul George, Russ and Harden. You know, Kyrie's back home with the Nets. Giannis and the Bucks are good. Philly's reloaded. Kemba's over in Boston. You know, Oladipo's back with Indiana and those guys over there. So I'm really excited for this upcoming season.
Ooh, you know, I forgot about Oladipo.
Yeah. Oladipo's back. You know, Sabonis' son just got paid. They got some other guys on that squad as well. You know, not too many big names there, but a lot of good guys that play hard and kind of fit that Midwestern mold over there in Indiana. So I'm definitely excited to see them as a dark horse in the East. Early prediction MVP, though, from week one, I got to go with Kawhi Jordan, man. Kawhi Leonard over in the LA Clippers.
Yo, see? Nah, we're not doing this. MVP. yo, hold on, see? I knew this was going to happen, so... Everybody, Rob got on here. He starts speaking all professional, and now he's agreeing with me with the Kawhi Leonard. But y'all should see this man in the text messages and offline, off of this podcast. Yo, where was this Kawhi love when I was, you know what I mean, big on Kawhi in week one? And what makes you say that?
I just think the way he impacts the game on both sides of the floor, we haven't seen that level of play. Definitely Kobe definitely did it during his career, but I'm talking where you get a guy that is scoring at will, can't be stopped on the offensive end, and he's picking up arguably one of the top five best players in the game's history at the free throw line in half court to start the first regular season game and take on that challenge, hold him to 18 points. We haven't seen that since Jordan, man.
Yeah, no, it's definitely huge. I was really impressed. And honestly, you know, the story with Kawhi is the big hands, the defense, you know, the emotionless grit that he plays with. But I was blown away offensively. Like, I haven't seen him ball chase like that since, I was saying earlier, like really ever. Like, even on, if you watch him on Toronto, like he kind of would defer to like a couple other players. He was like, you know, demanding the ball. I don't know. He has a different championship swagger and confidence about him, I was saying earlier, which really excites me. I think he, I hate saying hands down. I hate using that term. But as far as week one goes, I think he was at a different level than everyone else, personally.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. And what you mentioned about him chasing the ball and going, you know, going and going to get it, I think the difference in coaching style, and I attribute that to Doc Rivers, because what I did notice in that game, Kawhi came out early and got his rest early. And he played, I think, in shorter stints, but he went 100% in those, you know, six, 7, 8 minute stints. Remember, when he was in Toronto, Nick Nurse played that starting five 40-plus minutes a game during the regular season and the playoffs. So I think some of that him deferring, you know, to like a Kyle Lowry or to a Siakam, I think some of that was attributed to not necessarily his knee being banged up or thigh. I think some of it was fatigue and trying to – he knew he would have to defend. He knew he would have to play those long minutes, but still have enough in the tank in the fourth quarter to close games out.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and that's something I noticed with the Lakers Clippers game, especially was he came out early while LeBron and AD were still on the court in the first half, and in second half he still had that juice early on in the fourth to close that game out. Where you see LeBron score 4 points second half, AD didn't score in the fourth, but they were force feeding the ball all game. I think some of that was fatigue and managing the minutes, which was great by Doc Rivers. So.
Yeah, that's huge, man. So what was your thoughts on the new look Lakers? You know, it was a tough opener against Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers, who got that chip on their shoulders. They want to be LA's team. Patrick Beverley been talking trash for 3 years and backing it up. How did you think, you know, what can we expect from them in your opinion?
I mean, honestly, man, I think the only team in the West that's going to give LA problems is the Clippers. I'm a huge LeBron guy. You know that. But I honestly, all the hype and buildup for this LA team, I was kind of not impressed with that first performance after letting the, you know, game one overreaction settle and going back and looking at that game, looking how they played the Jazz game. I don't think LeBron needs to run the one for this Lakers team. And I think the Lakers will be at their best when they do get Kuzma back and AD goes to the five.
And when Rondo comes back, that'll help a lot as well.
Yep. When Rondo comes back and runs one, I mean, the Lakers are talented. They have a lot of bigs, you know, Dwight, JaVale, AD. But my thing is, when you play a JaVale and Anthony Davis together, it shortens the floor on offense. It compacts the offensive guys in. LeBron can shoot the three, but he's not a knockdown three-point. Everyone knows LeBron wants to get to the basket.
Right.
So when you got two bigs, you know, clogging the lane, kind of. You got LeBron getting to the basket. Caldwell Pope hasn't scored in two games, and Danny Green. They're going to shorten the court, and they're going to sag off and slough off in the paint. I think you need Rondo one out there to push the tempo. LeBron's in the 17th season. You don't need him doing that. He needs to get easy buckets. He needs to get ahead of the ball, transition buckets.
Right.
You need Kuzma out there to stretch the floor, open the floor up, so that when you do put AD in the pick and roll, a guy can't just sag in the lane on that and already have somebody in lane because JaVale McGee's already running baseline short corner to short corner. You got now the three-point threat in the corner. You can't help too much, so it'll open things up. I think they'll be at their best with Rondo at the one, Kuzma at the four, AD at the five, and then rotating in Dwight and JaVale as needed.
Right, so long story short, the Lakers didn't have their full squad. When they do, they'll be, you know, pretty much the only team contending the Clippers. Because from what I saw in week one, I mean, you know, Damian Lillard is always dangerous as a player, but I don't think Portland has enough firepower. You know, Utah kind of was talked about, but they ain't it, in my opinion. I think their young core isn't fully ready. I think they need another year. Golden State, man, let's talk about Golden State. That's a sad story, excuse me. I felt bad. It was sad, man. It was like you really felt the death of a dynasty.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to recover from this very well. I mean, Klay being out the whole year hurts them. I don't think D'Angelo Russell is a long-term fit there or fix. I think he's going to be trade bait at some point. You know, Draymond, undersized, you know, his game is what it is. I think he's more of a heart and chemistry type of fit for them, more so than production at this point right now.
I personally think, and I love Draymond. I love his energy. I love everything about his game. Like, if he was a teammate, I would love it.
Yep.
But he, oh man, I'm trying not to say mean words. This might be the year. This might have to be the year he competes for the sixth man award, man. I don't know. It's just when I see him out there, man, especially now they kind of have younger legs and they have like skill and talent. Just not necessarily experience and ability, if that makes any type of sense. So when he's out there, it's like it hurts them even more from an ability perspective, in my opinion. It just was like he was filling a space. I don't know, man. It looked sad to me. They were missing KD, which was weird because they didn't need him before. They were obviously missing Klay, but I think the Andre Iguodala and the Quinn Cook, and you know, I even wanted to see Harrison Barnes. Like I just wanted to, to see some, I wanted to see some sort of flash of like that old Golden State Warriors rotation that like I just didn't get, and it was just unfulfilling. They got clapped, you know, by Kawhi. I don't know. It just was that was a tough one.
I mean, and that they, like Steve Kerr said, they are who they are right now. What you saw is what you're going to get out of them. You know, right now, Steph can only do so much. You know, Iguodala leaving, that was huge, huge for them.
Well, he's a free agent right now still, right?
Nah, he's on Memphis. They won't trade him or release him.
Oh,
so
man.
Memphis has him. Yeah. So, I mean, when he gets bought out, if he gets bought out, better yet, when he gets bought out, I'm hearing he may go back to Golden State, or I'm hearing the Clippers. I thought Lakers were in the running for that, but I don't foresee that happening.
If he goes to the Clippers, man, I know where I'm putting my money.
They got too many dogs over there.
A team of dogs and talented dogs that can actually hoop though. Like Paul George isn't even playing yet, but when he can play, he's a dog and he's a, you know, one of the more prolific scorers in the NBA.
I'm interested to see how he fits just from him coming back. He would be taking the ball out of Lou Williams and Kawhi's hands, where they seem to work really well together. Right now, and I know it's early, it's the first two games, but I think that balance, both of them are getting in the rhythm, getting in the groove. You don't necessarily need that third person getting 16 to 20 shots.
I think, right though, I saw a lot of other players. Well, yeah, so Patrick Patterson I thought was impressive, but I think when Paul George comes back, man, I'm the defensive end, like I think he'll get a lot of his buckets from locking up on D. Like I think they'll get, this sounds crazy, but extra possessions from being that much stronger defensively, not to mention him coming off an MVP run season with being third in votes in MVP votes. You know, he's a knockdown shooter right now. Like he's a, I think it would, like, again, we were talking about Kawhi having to come out and get that rest, right? Yeah. Doc Rivers being a genius with the subbing. I think it takes pressure off of Doc Rivers. I think Kawhi isn't so tired. I think they all can go harder on defense, which is crazy to say because they already go hard on D. And I think it'll be a nice fit, man. But I do kind of want to segue, especially we're coming up on almost 50 minutes. Speaking of fits, I really want your opinion on Russell Westbrook and James Harden and what you saw from them and what you expect from them.
I mean, I expect them to be a playoff team.
That's it?
Yeah, I expect them to be a playoff team. I don't, from a basketball standpoint, I don't like the fit. I mean, even as, you know, Kevin Durant did a podcast the other day, interview. You know, as a fan perspective, you know you got two great players on the team. You want to see it work. But from a pure basketball perspective, I don't see how it works.
Yeah.
They're both so ball dominant, and they both need the ball in their hand to really affect the game. If Harden doesn't have the ball, what is he doing for you offensively or defensively?
That's what I saw in the first game. Like Russ plays so hard that he's crashing a board hard. So like even when he didn't get the ball, he was getting it off cuts, just back doors, you know, crashing the boards, like I said. So we saw that. I put in our group chat, man, I was saying, like, I admire his hustle, excuse me. I admired, like, yo, I'm on a new team. These cats don't really, really know me. I got a bad rep. I'm not touching the ball as much. How am I going to affect the game? And he just played extremely hard. Like, Harden missed like four or five shots in a row. He shot 15% that night. And you just saw something click for Russ where he didn't necessarily run after and go get the ball or start ball hogging. He started crashing the boards. So he had like two offensive rebounds and putbacks, one with an and one. You know, he started firing up the crowd. And like I was saying to you guys before, I admired also how relaxed they both were knowing that the other was out there with them. I think that's going to go a longer way than people kind of account for. It's an intangible. I don't think it works to the point of a championship or nothing like that. I think maybe they'll get to the West Finals or West Semis and lose to either Lakers or Clippers.
Well, I don't even think they get that far, to be honest.
Really?
I mean, what about Denver? They got Michael Porter Jr. back. They haven't lost anything. Jamal Murray looks good to start the year. Joker's still there.
I don't think they even see them. I think the West beats itself up and Houston finds itself further than we all think. That's what I think. Because you got the Lakers and you got the Clippers. I think Denver and Utah, and I don't even know if Golden State will make the playoffs, quite honestly, but, you know.
Golden State after being in the championship?
I don't think they make the playoffs, bro. Because you got to think. I mean, let's list eight teams in front of them. We just said Denver, Houston, Lakers, Clippers.
Cool. Yeah.
Right.
Trailblazers.
You got the Blazers in Utah. That's six.
Yeah. I mean, Timberwolves look good. Mavericks with Luka and
Mavs.
Porzingis.
That's how I was thinking of the Mavs.
You know, the Kings are young, and they've been on that cusp of getting in there, that eighth seed. Got to see how the Pelicans look. You know, they haven't looked bad.
The Pelicans, I was thinking as well. Yeah, the Pelicans, you know, if they can remain healthy, they got a bunch of injury-prone young guys, which is never a good sign. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I really think Houston is going to be a shocker. I don't think they shock and, like, win, you know, win it all or nothing like that. But I think they're going to be a shocker because they do, outside of that duo, have a very nice supporting cast, a good coach. They all like the way that coach coaches, right? So, like, you know, we don't have any, like, Carmelo Anthony who wants to slow it down. Wow. You know what I mean? And then what you said about Harden and Russ, they are ball dominant, but they're also constantly looking to pass, right?
They
so
are, they are, but I don't love their options, to be honest. Outside of Eric Gordon, I think Capella's wildly overpaid and overrated.
PJ Tucker.
I mean, he's a great defensive guy. You know, you give it to him, he cannot down there. I just don't love their options outside of those two.
I know they have each other. I know that.
Yeah, but when you look at it, if Harden shoots 15% or goes on a streak where he's not hitting shots, which he is known to do, Russ isn't the most efficient shooter either. So
he's
if
not.
You got both of them shooting a lot of volume shots and a lot of misses.
I think, you know, if Russ can stay in the same volume as CP3, they end up a 2 or 3 seed. And reason being is because CP3 is not a finisher like Russ is. Right, so now you're adding an athletic finisher to where, like, if Harden's running the break, he's pushing the break, and CP3 is in the game. CP3 is not finishing that break. There's no way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never see, like, Harden could lob it up to Russ. He could put it down for Russ. Russ could still make a play from there. Right? It's not like he's giving it to Clint Capella and Clint got to go up. Russ could still make a pass from there. I just think that it changes the dynamic of that fast-paced offense to where now you have someone. I do think Russ needs to improve on shooting, but I think that, I don't know. I have high hopes for them. I got them at the 3 seed in the West.
That's a little bit of that bias there, because I know you love Harden's game. Westbrook's your guy. I don't see it, man. I don't see it.
I don't see those other teams beating them, like, throughout the season all year. Like, I don't see the Mavs running down on Houston. They didn't run down on them that last year.
Like, hey, Luka's a bad boy, though, and they got Porzingis, man. They don't have no answer for Porzingis down there. 7'3", can shoot the three, can post up.
You don't think Clint Capella is an answer defensively?
No.
Okay.
No. Clint will give you his 10 boards. Is
16
points? I say 12 to 16 off alley oops, but he's not an elite rim protector. Get that man the ball on the block and say do a post move. He's passing it back out. You know, hey, that's the new NBA, man. We don't value a lot of skill on the block with our bigs nowadays. It's all athleticism. So
very true. Last thing, man, before we go, as we creep up on an hour, I don't mind this episode being an hour. After I edit it down, it'll probably be like 45 minutes. But I don't mind it being long. It's episode one. Last thing, your boy, Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Thoughts. Thoughts on his first two games. Thoughts on what he's going to be. My opinion was, lead the league in scoring this year. Had that Mamba year that we thought he was going to have last year. Had that AI year, right? That AI, I'm going to lead the league in scoring because I know he's not winning shit. Stuff. Excuse me. Beep.
Yep.
What's your thoughts?
I think Kyrie's so emotionally invested in the Nets and in Brooklyn. He's going to give his all. I think pre-LeBron, Kyrie was on that path there in Cleveland. I think once LeBron came and how things played out, I think he kind of, you know, lost a little bit of himself. I think when he went to Boston, that was more of a F you, you know, to Cleveland, to LeBron. I'm not, you know, kid brother. I can do this. He got to Boston. I don't think it was never a good fit. I personally don't think I don't think Brad Stevens can coach stars, personally, from his college background. I think him going to the Brooklyn Nets, I think this is going to be that year Kyrie's going to be in the top five for MVP voting that people predicted for him coming out of college and that LeBron said he saw in him in Cleveland. So I can agree with that.
Do you think they, you know, how do you think he fits with KD when KD comes back for next season?
I think it'll be a better fit than Russ and KD just from the fact that Kyrie can score at a more efficient clip. So he won't need as many shots to be as effective, I don't think.
You think it'll be better than Steph and KD?
I mean, but it was never just Steph and KD. You had Klay, you know, you had who's arguably top five in his position. You don't have that there in Brooklyn. So it was never just KD and Steph, you know, with role players. So I don't know how I can compare to that. But I do think this duo will be better than just Russ and KD, being that they'll get deeper in the playoffs. And I think they'll have a chance to play for a championship there.
I agree. All right, cool, man. Look, I appreciate you being on the show today, man. Thanks for your insight. Very knowledgeable. I hope our listeners enjoyed that. We'd love to have you on the show more often, even if it's for, you know, shorter segments, even if it's just, I don't know, we could do an Ask Rob segment and have one question for you where you get to go on a tangent for 5 or 10 minutes every episode. I don't know. But
hey, please do. You know I love that.
Yeah, for sure, man. So thanks a lot. To everyone who's listening, I appreciate you guys for listening. We're going to close out. We're coming up on an hour. I appreciate you guys listening to our, I don't know, unqualified opinions. Just kidding. But all jokes aside, though, thank you all for listening. I want to insert like a hand clap. Our first ever episode of the Above Max podcast. Rob, if you got name ideas, too, we still playing around with the name. I don't know. I got to see if Hoop Chatter is taken. I don't know.
Hoop Chatter
by Above Max. Something like that. We got to play around with it. So I'll hit you offline. But either way, it's the Above Max podcast. You guys heard it here first. Episode one. My good friend Rob McPherson on a special guest tip. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and all other social media platforms at Above Max B-Ball. You can shoot me an email. Send topics. Engage. Comment. Whatever you want to do. Engage with us. Hit us up. coach@abovemaxbball.org. Website abovemaxbball.org. You can also leave comments there on our blog where this podcast will be posted. AboveMaxBeeball.org. I'm Coach Art, also known as Art Morrison III. Thank you guys for listening.